share next, and then we'll close with Tom.
Thanks. I'm taking a little bit different approach, if you will. I sort of looked into myself and said, how did I make it to that retreat, you know, in my life? You know, what brought me there? And of course, there's lots of things that I've left out, but I was thinking, you know, the existentialist, French existentialist, Sartre wrote that play, No Exit, where the theme was hell is other people. And I thought to myself sometimes, but hell, heaven is also other people, or at least purgatory. The influence of other people was so strong on me, in a sense. When Phil Berrigan said to me, do you want to come down and meet Mert? I didn't even realize it was this kind of thing happening. And I said, sure. You know? And so I went back in my life to try to think through how I came to this position. And I was hoping that somehow it might help you also to go back in your own life and sort of see where you've come from. And one of the first things that came to mind was my mother on the back porch in the late 30s. I was a child of about six or so. And she opened the newspaper, the evening newspaper, and it said, Germany invades Poland. And she looked up, she didn't look at me, she looked up at the slight wind that was there. And she said, I cannot believe they're going to do this again. And she kept repeating it as if I wasn't there. And of course, I didn't get it then. I didn't even know quite what she was talking about. But after a while, with sort of consideration, you know, she was just saying, 20 years, you know, 20 years later. Well, as a kid, you know, 20 years could be 2,000 years. But for her, 20 years, of course, the last 10 spent in the Depression. And then, you know, thinking my brothers, my older brothers were 15 and 16, you know, almost coming right into it, you know. And future fears just flooded her heart. You know, and as I said, I didn't get it all, but I knew something was happening. And it was the same with Pearl Harbor. It turned us upside down. The puzzled faces of the adults made us uneasy as kids. We had a day off from school. It was the Immaculate Conception. I went to a Catholic grammar school. And we tried to play games and stuff, but we weren't quite clicking. You know, there was too much going on in the atmosphere, so-called. And we huddled around the radio for the president to say, yesterday, this will be the day that will live in infamy. You know? And so we were all worked up somewhat. So on we went into the fourth grade with Sister Bosco. And we were not as wild as we usually were before school. And everybody had kind of calmed down. And the sister made a statement under those conditions that was probably the most radical I've ever heard. She told us all, quietly sit down. And she said, now listen, children, you're going to hear words like dirty Japs, you know, and other things like that. But I want you to know that the Japanese are God's children just as you are. And my best bosom buddy was a guy called Peter Cooney. And we did everything together. And in the sixth grade, we went to the boys' club, and they had new boxing gloves. And I put on the boxing glove, they really smelled nice, we were laughing about it and everything like that. And he said, let's spar around, pretend we're fighting. And all of a sudden he hit me on the nose. And I saw stars kind of a little bit. And I got totally angry. And I started to hit him back. And after a while, we were flailing each other, you know. And somebody stopped it. And then, of course, we went back to being best friends. But thinking about that, I realized that when you're attacked, you don't think, you forget who you are, you forget who he is, your best friend. And you just punch. My older brother, my two brothers were in the war, and my older brother came home limping, not limping, but his ship was limping. It was bombed, and kind of the whole center of it was destroyed. It was an aircraft carrier. And he was in all the major battles in the Pacific. And I was so proud of him. I looked up to my big brothers like, you know, idols. We didn't need Freud to talk about myths of the family or something. But and he was there with his Navy uniform on, you know, just kind of by the pond, and I was so enamored of him. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And he looked at me and he said, Robert, don't let him tell you anything different. We're no better than the Japs. We always said the Japs. That was kind of the way we spoke about them at that time. He said, we kill women and children just like they did. And I was kind of just, I didn't get excited about it or anything, but I was just, it was just thoughtful, you know. So all these kind of things kind of were within me somewhere. It was somewhat blocked out by the brass band of society, but someone said that once the World War II years were the most patriotic time in American history. It was us against the world, you know. And it really was a time of that. So you did get carried away from it. And then the seminaries were all filled with capacity, you know. Written with the seven-story mountain, they almost had to lock the doors at the Trappist monastery for people trying to get in. And so I went in and studied for the priesthood, and I used to read, you know, the Catholic Worker, Commonweal, all the kind of liberal Catholic, you know, magazines and papers and things like that. But it was always kind of external to me. It was somewhat of like a hobby of some kind. And then my brother called me on the phone one time. By the time I was a priest then, and he said, I have a great friend of mine who was a classmate of mine at Holy Cross, Phil Berrigan. I'm inviting him over for dinner. And he said, I'm sure you'll come. And I said, yeah, I will. I said, I think he's written some books or something. He said, no, that's his brother. So Phil was in New Orleans, but then he was going to the Josephite Seminary in Newburgh, New York. And so we went to the dinner, and afterwards Phil and I had a nice conversation. He said, well, how are you doing now that we were both priests and we were comparing things? And I was telling him that I was rather shocked by the nuclear stuff, you know, the atom bombs and things like that. And he said to me, that's interesting. He said, you got to come down to New York and meet my brother and some other people. And so it happened that three or four times a year I would take the car. I was in Waltham, Massachusetts, pick Phil up at Newburgh, and we'd go to the city. And every time I went with a lot of excitement, but also, what the hell am I getting myself into? It had the double kind of thing. And gradually, through Phil mostly, I began to see that my life was going to be a little different. To skip a little bit ahead, during the Freedom Summer of 64, I was already in on the Fellowship of Reconciliation. They asked that two rabbis, two Protestant ministers, and two Catholic priests go to Jackson, Mississippi. And So Phil asked me if I'd go, and I said, yeah, that'd be great. And so then, of course, I was scared to death. And we were going to have all this kind of, it sounded like James Bond, you know, people were going to meet us at the border and change the New York license plate into a Mississippi license plate and all that kind of stuff. But we forgot one thing, and that was the Bishop of Jackson, who forbade us from entering his territory. And Phil thought, Phil had doubts about it because they had Josephite parishes in his diocese, and he thought the bishop would take it out on the Josephites, and he didn't know whether he should do that and sort of harm his fellow Josephites. So we never went. But then in that summer, we got together a lot. He took me through Harlem one time. He was writing an article for Commonweal. We talked to everybody in the parishes in Harlem and all sorts of things. And, of course, his attachment to me was very much because his attachment to my brother, who always kept in touch with him, and even when he was in jail, wrote him letters and stuff. So finally, then he said to me, you want to go down and see Merton, as I said. And then when I got there, it was kind of amazing. I told, when Gordon was at our house talking about the book a few years ago, I said a kind of funny thing. I said, I knew Musty before I knew him, because the way that people treated Musty when he came in, you could tell he was the one that kind of got the, you know, even Bert and all the rest of them kind of talked to him in a special way. And I found also with the people there, they were so down to earth, you know. And that brought me back to my thought about heaven is other people, you know. That there's a way where people give you a certain confidence in the fact that they're very authentic and very real, not condescending, not thinking they know everything, not telling you what to do, but just doing it themselves. It reminded me of the things that Gordon wrote about Massignon. You know, you are what you are, and you do the best you can, and you don't judge other people, you know. You kind of just do the best you are and let other things happen. So it was wonderful to see all these people, and I remember one night we were talking, and everybody's getting a little rowdy, you know. I guess maybe it was the things, and it was kind of funny. Albert Jean went by me, and he raised his eyebrows, whoa, you know, and it was kind of, so there were little things like that that were really kind of interesting. I walked down the hill with Merton after when he gave the talk, and he was so interested in me, I couldn't get over it, kind of. He was telling me, did you get the idea that I was saying? It was not condescending. He was just trying to make sure that I understood what he said. And then also the Protestants in the group, they really seemed to be moved by communion. You know, it was not a easy thing. And it had this tremendous feel of something very, very real, you know. And that's what I took away from it, in a sense, and that's what I think led me to trust people more and more and more. And it was a kind of a thing that moved me a little bit along in life, and I'm really grateful for the whole thing. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Tom?
Before launching it,